This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you by Royalty, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services. So which ones, why don't you pick two or three that we can focus in on? I mean, the first one, of course, I think we were already talking about that.
Yeah.
They get the digital trends, but some of them are struggling to take action.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, if everybody knows just from our personal lives, right, that the way business is getting done is really changing. I mean, you know, we used to go to physical stores for everything. Now
right.
we don't. We
right.
used to maybe get, you know, like you just said, have to go to a corporate office. Now we can work at home. All these things are changing. So everybody sees that technology is kind of reshaping everything, but it is hard for a lot of SMBs, the smaller companies, so they more and more get that things are changing, but it doesn't make it any easier to kind of say, all right, what should my digital strategy be, right?
Yeah. And, do you think that's the problem?
But
they don't know
strategy,
what to do.
I mean, you know, people say, well, what's a digital strategy? But
right.
I mean,
what is it?
Honestly,
what is a digital strategy?
It's just that, you know, the world is changing. Everything is becoming, you know, more digital in the way
right.
we get things done and the way people want to shop and buy things and get services. I mean, I just did my taxes with, you know, TurboTax and, you know, I had the online chat and the people calling me and, you know, we have the video thing, and the screen sharing, you know, and so everybody knows that their business is going to have to do things differently because everything's becoming more digital, but it's still tough.
Yeah.
You know, to figure out, well, for my business, what does that mean? What should I do?
Right. I think that's a good point. I just rebuilt my website and on part of it.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode.
Hi, my name is Lori McCabe, and I'm co-founder and co-owner of SMB Group, and we're an industry analyst, research, and influencer firm, and what we follow most closely is small and medium business technology trends.
All right, so let's get into it then. I do appreciate, I know it took us a while to connect, and you spent some time talking to me in preparation for this, but I appreciate you putting this time aside to come on the podcast and talk about, you know, what's going on in the small business world regarding digital media and all those types of things. Because the people that listen to my podcast are the growing group of people. Hopefully, it will continue to grow. You know, they're business owners. The funny thing is, the profile is not just New Jersey. I thought they were all local people that I knew. Some of them are in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Some of them are in Southwest. And then it's a small group, 30 to 50 people, I don't know, but they seem to be coming from different places. So maybe, Lori, you can tell me about, you know, where you grew up. I don't know if you're from Massachusetts and what your background is and so forth.
Okay, yeah, I grew up in Northport, New York, which is about halfway out on Suffolk County in Long Island.
Yeah.
And that's where I grew up. And I went to the University of Delaware for college. Okay. And then moved up to New England not that long after that, where I started my career first in marketing for a couple of different companies, and then became an industry analyst.
Okay. And there was no social media in those days, right?
No. No social media then.
Right.
It was all, you know, well, early days of the web and that kind of thing, but really right. No social media.
Right. So, okay. So I guess the web, I'm trying to think when I first heard about the internet, I think it was like early 90s when
right.
I first heard about it. Maybe you were before then, but,
mm-hmm.
All right. So tell me, how did it develop? Because I know you do a lot of stuff online from a social media standpoint and
mm-hmm.
Influencing and teaching people things and things like that. How did that all kind of come about over time?
Well, like I said, I became what's known as an industry analyst, which means somebody that tracks and analyzes different areas in the technology realm. In the late 90s. Okay. And I worked for a couple of different firms. And then my business partner and I in 2010 started SMB Group.
Okay.
We wanted to focus specifically on the small and medium business technology market, which didn't really have a whole lot of focus. A lot of the focus was on enterprise.
Okay. What falls into the category of small to medium-sized businesses in your world?
Yeah, well, for us, I mean, it is a different definition, I guess, depending sometimes on who you ask. But for us, small business is 1 to 100 employees, and medium business is 100 to 1,000.
Okay.
And we do a lot of primary research. So in the research we do, we really segment that out by like businesses of one, businesses of 2 to 4 employees, 5 to 9, et cetera. So it gets very granular within there, but the big span for SMB is 1 to 1,000 the way we look at it.
Okay. So most of the business owners I deal with are, I mean, they could be a restaurant where they have, you know, 20 or 30 employees, but a lot of them are like, I would say under 30 employees. Some of them are mm-hmm. 2 or 3 persons.
So definitely shops. Small business, right?
Right. Okay. So tell me about the things that are going on in that world.
From what perspective?
No, from a digital perspective. You had said that everything you did was, yeah.
Well, I mean, a lot of things are going on. I think a lot of companies are, you know, even very small companies, the whole area of cloud computing, which is now over 20 years old, but that's really created a situation where businesses of all sizes can much more readily take advantage of and
right.
use different kinds of technology solutions in their business. So,
right.
you know, even 10 years ago, a lot of businesses, if they used more than 3 or 4 business applications. So I'm not talking about like Word and PowerPoint and things like that, but more like accounting and marketing
right.
and whatever. That was like a big deal. Nobody
right. And that
used
wasn't
a whole
in the cloud then, right?
Hmm?
That really wasn't in the cloud yet, a little bit, maybe.
Well, no, it was in the cloud, but it was a slow ramp. I mean, the cloud really took off following the Great Recession because
right.
people just didn't have the money to invest up front to get things up and running and hire people to help them and everything else. So the cloud helped some companies shortcut some of that.
Right.
Not all of it.
Yeah, so you're paying a monthly fee then.
Yeah. But it you know, so now, you know, fast forward to today, and there's so many applications. Some of them you can use just with a cell phone.
Right.
You don't even need to have a PC. So we're in a world now where, you know, most businesses, no matter, even if they're very tiny, use a number of different applications to help them do different things in their business. Anything from keeping their books to marketing to social media to appointment scheduling, you know, the full gamut of things that you might need to do.
Right. And I think a lot of this has come about, just like what you said, because of the fact that these tools are available and the cloud computing and everything, it's become easier for somebody to go out on their own or to start their own business, you know?
Yeah, it definitely has, because the overhead, to get up and running now, you know, can be free.
Right.
You know, there's definitely a lot of applications that you can use for free to, especially if it's just one user.
Right.
Can use it for free forever.
Yeah.
So
in a lot of cases.
So, yeah. So there's definitely a big change in what it takes to get off the ground, especially if you're not a physical kind of business to begin with. I mean, if you want to run a store or something like that, or a physical store, still a lot of investment on that. But if you want to become a freelance writer or, you know, become your own programming shop or something like that, the startup costs are pretty minimal.
Right. You can go to these different websites and post your services and start to make money, right? Fiverr and Freelancer and all that type of stuff.
Upwork, right.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's interesting because, I deal with I deal with some tech startups, small companies, they're starting apps and things like that, but a lot of them are brick and mortar businesses, working in the local community. And I think that, I'm not sure if it's that they don't appreciate technology. I mean, I think they use things by necessity, like, you know, their accounting systems and things like that. But I don't know if they're all kind of seeking out like what technology can help with how I run my business. You know, that's what I seem to see a lot. I don't know what your experience has been.
Yep. Well, what we see is definitely, older, more established businesses. And I'm not necessarily talking about the age of the business owner, but the length of time the business has been around.
Right. Makes sense.
It's kind of a stick with the devil, you know, and, you know, only if they've got some new opportunity or issue that they need to deal with. A lot of times they've got their customer base and things are going along, you know, quote unquote, good enough.
Right.
So until something rattles their cages, like a new competitor or somebody kind of figuring out a better way to build a mousetrap and provide the service or whatever, they may be a little reluctant to just do something new because, you know, it's not easy. Change is not easy.
Right.
But we definitely see in our research that younger businesses, so if you're just going into business in the last 3, 4, 5 years, you're much more prone to be using more of these online applications and tools and just more progressive in general about everything, you know, remote working and using more things on your mobile device.
Right. Well, they're used to, especially the younger people are used to doing that.
Right. So, and that's definitely true. I mean, there is definitely an age thing, but there's also just, if you're starting a new business today,
you're bootstrapping, right?
You don't have a choice. Yeah, and you're not encumbered by the baggage.
Right.
So it's not like you're still using desktop, this, that, and the other thing. You're probably just going to go straight to the cloud, and you're going to go straight to something that, you know, somebody else told you about, maybe that just started a business that's working for them.
Right.
And
that's true. That's how you
So the younger businesses, they're usually, you know, they're trying to be a little more, I don't want to use the word disruptive, but they have to break in. They have to get the business and attract the customers and
do
all those things. So they're a little more willing to try some things regardless of their age, with these online services, because often the cost of getting up and running on them to begin with is pretty low.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember, so this is the past summer, I had a law firm. I had about 6 partners. We had of-counsel attorneys. We had law space. And I decided I want to go back out on my own, simplify my life. And it wasn't too difficult. I mean, I didn't need the furniture. I'm in a co-working space now. I moved everything to the cloud.
Right.
I have my laptop and I have my desktop and, you know, I mean, I come to an office, I'm sitting here now, I find it easier to work and be out of the house, but I could go to, if it wasn't for privacy with client stuff I'm working on, I could go to Panera, I could go to Starbucks and just work. And I think a lot of younger people, especially, they want to be more light on their feet and more able to just go wherever they want to go.
Yeah, and actually, you know, there's a lot of research out there that everybody wants to have more flexibility in terms of the workspace they're in. So, you know, whether it's remote working or maybe, you know, working different hours, you know, not necessarily working the 9 to 5.
Sure.
So it's a big deal for people. Yeah. And in this, what we've enjoyed lately, a very tight job market for the employers, you know, a lot more of them, the employers have to offer more of those kind of flexibility benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's why WeWorks in all these spaces. I don't know if out by you, but I'm in a relatively, I mean, I'm not in a big city, near the city, but we have, I don't know, 4 or 5 companies that you never heard of that have co-working space.
Yeah, and so if you have employees, then, or even if you're just on your own, you've got to have a lot of these online tools to keep people connected.
Sure. Absolutely. There's a bunch of attorneys that come here that don't have an office. They work from their home. Hmm. When they want to get out of the office or meet clients, they come here. They pay a lower fee and they just, you know, do their work. And that's all you have to do. And I think you're going to see more and more of that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Can we talk about, you had sent me this piece from January on the top 10 technology trends for 2020.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we highlight some of those? And since I want to learn
some things. Yeah, which ones did you want to get into?
Well, what do you think are, I mean, are they in order of, are they in a certain order for a certain reason?
Not really. I think the first two are probably the most overarching kind of trends.
Right.
But after that, there's, you know, there's not really any kind of, oh, this one should have more weight than the others.
Okay. So which ones, why don't you pick two or three that we can focus in on? I mean, the first one, of course, I think we were already talking about that.
Yeah.
They get the digital trends, but some of them are struggling to take action.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, if everybody knows just from our personal lives, right, that the way business is getting done is really changing. I mean, you know, we used to go to physical stores for everything. Now we don't. We used to maybe get, you know, like you just said, have to go to a corporate office. Now we can work at home. All these things are changing. So everybody sees that technology is kind of reshaping everything, but it is hard for a lot of SMBs, the smaller companies, to so they more and more get that things are changing, but it doesn't make it any easier to kind of say, all right, what should my digital strategy be, right?
Yeah. And, do you think that's the problem?
But digital
they don't know
strategy,
what to do.
I mean, you know, people say, well, what's a digital strategy? But I mean,
what is it?
Honestly,
what is a digital strategy?
It's just that, you know, the world is changing. Everything is becoming, you know, more digital in the way we get things done. And the way people want to shop and buy things and get services. I mean, I just did my taxes with, you know, TurboTax. And, you know, I had the online chat and the people calling me. And, you know, we have the video thing, and the screen sharing, you know. And so everybody knows that their business is going to have to do things differently because everything's becoming more digital. But it's still tough, you know, to figure out, well, for my business, what does that mean? What should I do?
Right. I think that's a good point. I just rebuilt my website and on part of it, and I've been thinking about this for a long time, been reluctant to do it, but I always felt that all the, whatever, the legal Zooms and the rocket lawyers of the world, they're just, you know, they're not advisors, they're not attorneys, so they're just selling documents. So I built a section of the website that for simplistic situations, you have a husband and wife, they have 2 kids, you have a simple situation, simple business, you can go online at a much lower price, not as cheap as LegalZoom, but certainly a lower price than I would charge. And they can, if they're willing to input all the data, merges it into my documents, they sign the retainer agreement through a click license, and I can have the documents back them in, you know, 48 hours, and it's less than half the price than I would normally charge.
Wow.
So I'm trying.
Great. Yeah.
It took us a while to build that and figure
like
it out.
TurboTax, right?
Yeah. Same type of thing.
You
go online.
You do more
of
the work and the accountant does much less work, but it's a lot cheaper.
Right. Isn't it if you're just a W-2 employee, you can even start for free? I think I saw an ad. I think there's some.
Yeah, well, you can do on TurboTax. You don't. We're doing an ad for them, but you don't pay until you file.
Ah, oh, so you can actually do all the preparation. There's no cost at that point.
Yeah, and then if you decide, you know, I'm really confused and I do have to go see somebody physically, an accountant, you can just stop and you're not filing, so you're not paying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you can see more and more of that. I mean, look, I started marketing using, what do we use? I use MailChimp.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I started with MailChimp was that was the service where you can get all the features for the first 2,000 people on the list. And for a small
right.
business owner at the time, I'm above that threshold now, but that was a lot of people.
But that's enough. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
For
definitely,
most people. And you
definitely.
Get all the features.
Yeah. I mean, if you're selling paperclips or something, maybe not, because you've got to sell massive quantities.
Right.
But yeah, if you're selling a personal service, yeah.
Right.
You know, hand in hand with that, the people that do figure it out, which is the second trend, you know, and it, you know, I mean, digital transformation is kind of this big buzzword, but really it's just saying, what do I have to change? What needs to change in my business? What do I need to do with technology to be more connected with the customers, to be more competitive?
So that includes
all those
social
kinds
media,
of things.
I mean.
So the people that do figure it out,
yeah.
you know, they are, it's paying off for them. They're definitely, in terms of revenues, doing better than peers that kind of drag their feet.
You know, I just interviewed a client of mine this morning who has a restaurant, and we were talking about that. And he probably posts on social media about things that are happening in their daily, maybe several times a day. And I know some people that don't post. They post once a month. Trying to run their business. And there's so much noise and competition out there. It's very hard to figure out, you know, what you should be doing. And I guess it varies by business and industry.
And now a word from our sponsors. Royalty.com, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. Royalty. It's your marketing done. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about Royalty and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
Yes.
Certainly, but it seems like the noise grows as the time
there's a
goes
lot
on.
Of noise. There's definitely, it's with social media, there's definitely a lot of noise. Social media is though just one thing.
Right.
And I think with social media the thing is there's all these different, you know, there's Twitter and LinkedIn and Pinterest and Facebook and on and on,
right.
Snapchat,
Instagram. Right.
I think the thing is to figure out, you know, what's the right fit. You know, if you're a small business and you're not a technology company, what's the right fit for my business? And so maybe like that restaurant, it's Pinterest.
Right.
Or, you know, somebody or Instagram. And if you're, you know, somebody else, maybe that,
Twitter,
I don't know, hair salon,
right?
And you have a good following and they want to be on Facebook and you post all the hair you cut on there. I don't know. But it's different. You know, for you, it might be LinkedIn, you know,
right.
If you're in a professional
Yeah, I'm a business
kind
lawyer,
of thing,
so
legal,
I want to.
Right.
Right.
You're probably not
going to
be posting pictures of your clients
no,
on Instagram.
Can't
hopefully.
Do that. Can't do that.
So, yeah, but I mean, so I think it can be overwhelming, but it doesn't need to be. And sometimes, you know, I've talked to a lot of people, it just takes one other person kind of showing them or putting the idea in their head, like you're a restaurant. So when you have a special, you know, post a beautiful picture of that meal, or, you know, make it easy for people to leave, you know, reviews about your restaurant or whatever it is.
Right. Absolutely.
But, you know, I mean, it just takes somebody to show you this is what you have to do, so you don't feel like, oh my God, this is so new and scary.
Right. Yeah, that's
but
a good point.
But it's more than the social media. Like, it's like, you know, if you're a restaurant, you know, can you make reservations for an open table?
Right.
Are you monitoring Yelp? Are you, you know, doing these things?
Right.
So
even how you take credit cards, you know, how they pay.
Right.
And have an app and order food ahead of time, all that type of stuff.
Right. And even now, there's a thing where people, you know, there's so much credit card fraud that it a lot of people are like, I don't want you taking my credit card away.
Right.
I just want to swipe here.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really not, a lot of times for a lot of businesses, it's like, how would I want to be treated? How would I want to be able to get more convenience and better service?
Right.
Yeah, and
some
if you
of
can
it's
focus
obvious, some
on
of
that
not.
And say, well, this is what I could do. Maybe I'll just have my servers go to the table with an iPad with a Square Reader, right?
Right.
And
yeah,
then
that's
you swipe,
not so hard.
You give the card back, and then you don't have to. They don't have to think, oh, my credit card probably got stolen when I was at, you know, Joe's Diner.
Right. Then you're on the list. Keeps you off the
list
of suspects.
Right.
What about, I was reading, let me flip over your list here. There was one about, so you hear about 5G and everything that's going on, and you had made a comment about the things that we're going to see and what's going to happen with 5G. Can we talk a little bit about that? Because I'm just starting to understand 5G. I mean, obviously, it's faster. I understand that. But
yeah.
What kind of things you think we're going to see? How is it going to transform what we're doing?
Well, I think the big thing, you know, like you said, it's going to be faster. So as a consumer, of course, you know, people, I think, will really like it because, you know, the movies and everything you stream are definitely going to be, you're going to enjoy the fact that you're downloading videos really fast. And, you know, if you're having remote meetings, you won't have any kind or field service calls or something like that. It'll all just be, you know, seamless for
Skype,
you.
Right, even Skype, it'll be very clear, right?
I think the other, you know, one of the other things is this whole AR and VR thing, which still sounds really far out for people.
Right.
But in certain business or industries, you know, I can see this really be coming to the fore. Or even if you're out doing a service call, like say you have an HVAC company and you send a guy out and he's trying to figure out what's wrong. If he can just use an AR application, let's say, or he can get walked through the steps he has to do to diagnose it or to repair it. You know, people are already using it. Bigger companies are already using it for that kind of thing. And also in, you know, medical and things like that.
Right.
But I think we're going to see certain areas where that 5G is going to enable that because it's going to reduce any of the latency down to like where you wouldn't know it's there.
Right.
Now, and then I think the other thing is with IoT, the Internet of Things, there are a lot of applications that, you know, there's a lot of data.
Yeah. When you say Internet of Things, you mean like smart devices, right?
Right.
Okay.
And so I think that, you know, we're connecting more and more of these devices to the web, and there's more and more data flowing through these sensors.
Right.
And
which scares me, by the way.
Yeah, it is scary. It's all a double-edged sword. All of this is a double-edged sword.
Yeah,
well, there's not one single thing in technology that's
yeah, and you improve
good,
you prove the
right?
security, and then somebody breaks that. Then they got to improve it again, and it's a constant battle. Yeah.
But, like, again, you know, if you're that HVAC person, you know, you've sold whatever you've sold to this this apartment complex, all these, I don't know, air conditioner or something like that. And
right.
You could have them all wired. I mean, you could do this today.
Yeah, of course. They could notify you. Right.
But the 5G, I mean, what the experts are saying, and I am not a 5G expert, but that it's just gonna carve a path to help, number one, entrepreneurs are gonna figure out how to create new products and services.
Of course.
For IoT, right. With this faster internet, right?
No question about it.
And so I think it'll just really provide a lot of opportunity, both for the people that are creating these kind of new solutions in IoT, a lot of which can't even think of what they might be right now,
right?
To using them,
right.
You know, more ways people can use them in their business. And, it, you know, it's interesting, like you said, though, it is a double-edged sword, so you kind of wonder, you know, I know one of the IoT applications I heard about like 3 or 4 years ago, it's like you could be entering a building and you wouldn't even know it, and the IoT sensor would be able to pick up your body temperature, right?
Right.
But now you think of with this coronavirus outbreak, and, you know, they are monitoring people's temperatures in the airport, but you know it, right?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, probably it's not yet ready for prime time to have, and let alone privacy issues.
Right.
But, you know, you can kind of see how, you know, you have some kind of outbreak where people would say, all right, we know privacy is a big deal, but, you know, everyone coming in and out of that airport, it's the only way we can do it.
Right.
And these sensors up, they're going to just spot you, and because it's now so fast and so powerful, it'll just be bing, 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 bing.
Yeah. Now the whole 5G thing, though, they still need the devices, right? So just because you see these ads, none of our phones do 5G yet, right?
Right. Well, I don't.
Samsung just announced
that.
One.
There might
you can
be
pre-order.
Some that are 5G ready.
I think there's. Oh, really? Like some phones? I don't think so. I think. Oh, maybe
I don't know.
Maybe one of the Samsung. I know Samsung just jumped to the S20 that you can pre-order. I don't think any of the Apples do 5G yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I think some of them, there may be some that are what they call 5G ready.
Right.
But I think on our phone, for most, well, unless you're already thinking of a business use case, like for diagnostics or something like that for your field service people. But for most of us right now on our phones, it is going to be more that personal consumer kind of things like the videos and stuff like that.
Yeah, like fun
Although,
games.
You know, I mean, I will say, like, I know, like, some services I use on my mobile phone, you know, like receipt scanning or something, it takes a while for that receipt to go in and show up and have all the information.
Right.
And by a while, I mean a couple, you know, 3-4 minutes.
Right.
I guess things like that will probably see that a lot faster.
Maybe, because I assume those things work on some sort of a database and it compares the data and knows where to put it.
Yeah. I mean, there's more than one thing involved there. There's the OCR and all those things have to come into play. But I would think that 5G would at least do something to help that, because information's going back and forth over the network.
Right, sure. The speed at which it goes, if it's a blink, it's going to happen much quicker.
Yeah.
So I guess the best thing that you can do for me is I deal with a lot of, obviously, startups or small businesses. They're young and at the early stages. What kind of things, like in terms of advice, can you give if somebody's starting up a new business? They're leaving their company, they're going at it on their own. Maybe 2 or 3 things that you think that they should be aware of or watch for in your experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you definitely want to tap into some of the influencers and blogs and things like that focus on small business.
Like you.
Because, you know, that's, and there's many others. And there's also, you know, different associations that are very, you know, everything from something like SCORE, right?
Right, SCORE is very good.
Which has been around forever.
Right.
You know, go there and you know, get advice from people, because everything from your business plan to, you know, how you're going to market the business. They have people that can definitely give you some hands-on help.
Okay.
And then there are also, you know, different, and they're free, right?
Right.
So those are good. And, you know, in the SBA, you know, you probably want to get on their website and
right.
Take advantage of that. That's all free. And then the other thing is there are groups that you do have to pay to be in, but they're like networks for people, for CEOs or, you know, small companies or startups
right.
or whatever. And so, you know, and these things are going to cost different amounts of money, and some of them are regional, some of them are national, some of them are international.
Right, but they're ways to network and learn from people that have done it before you,
right? Yeah, yeah, and some of them, they're all kind of virtual, online. Some of them have meetings, you know, physical world meetings.
Right.
But I think those are all the things. And then just talk to, you know, your friends, I mean, especially if you're starting a business, in a field, you know, well, you know, the field, that's great. But what are some of the tricks of being on your own? So
right.
if you have friends that, like you, I'm sure you had other attorneys that,
sure.
you know, you probably called them and said, hey, you know, what do I need to know here?
Right. How do you get, and, so that's one of the biggest problems in the legal profession is that they don't teach any of us in law school the business side of running a law
really?
Practice. Yeah. And
that's
probably
a
80%
problem.
Of,
that is a problem. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because like 80% of us end up in solo practices at certain points, and we don't have any
you
business
You would think
skills.
They would have at least a couple of business courses.
None. Unless it's changed since I last checked. Basically nothing.
Wow.
Law school
that's
is about
bad.
Practicing law. But isn't medical school about the same thing? I don't think they have.
Yeah, but I have a feeling, especially in this day and age, it's not that many doctors going out on their own.
Right. It's different because of the whole, yeah, exactly. Oh. They go and they get bought up by these
just
practice
the thought
management
of having
groups.
To deal with all the insurance paperwork on
right.
your own is like a nightmare. So
yeah.
for them, maybe not so much, but like dental, yeah, dental, they're all on their own. So I wonder if
yeah.
they get something.
Yeah, no, I mean, look at medicine from a practice management standpoint. There's an industry that was created
yeah.
because doctors are not generally good business people, at least a lot of them. So these practice management groups came up. There's no incentive for anybody to do that in law. Nobody's going to buy up law firms and do the management for them. I mean, they could, but there's no...
They don't want to get sued.
Right. And yeah, there's issues with that. You can't own a law firm if you're not a lawyer. And there's no insurance involved. So at least when you're buying a practice, medical practice, you have patients and they come all the time. Even
yeah.
accounting firms, they have regular recurring income. Lawyers really don't, with rare exception.
Right.
You know, you have
right.
clients that need things at all times. But
yeah,
it's never
there's
the
probably
same
a few I can think of that have big retainers of lawyers.
So. Right. Exactly. Well, that's been the model. You know, you buy or you bring in or you hire younger associates and they do the work for the clients.
And then business.
Right.
Yeah.
And over time, they take over and they start generating the business. But what happened over time was you would become the partner. And now you're responsible for doing the same billing you were doing before, but also bringing in business. You have no skills. You've never been taught how to do that. 18 months later, they're like, you know what, Mitch? I don't think this is working out too well. We're going to let you go because you didn't
so
generate business.
So you have
business.
To be a salesperson
right.
and a lawyer. You can't just be a lawyer.
Correct. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I even have a lot of friends who were you know, getting along in their careers. And they were women. They wanted to have kids. And they were like, what do I need this for? Like, what do I need to stay at this big firm and work like crazy and have to generate business? And I want to, like, take care of my kids. And then they went home. They took care of their kids. And then they started their own law practices, maybe even while they're having kids because of technology,
right.
like you said.
And they could decide how big or little they wanted
right.
it to be.
And it's easy with technology now because you don't have to be in front of a client. You know, we don't
right.
need a store.
And I'm sure there's plenty of, you know, business out there for attorneys that just want to do family law.
Yep. A big area is my area, business planning and estates and trusts. And there's a lot of attorneys, male and female, that have their own virtual, let's use that in quotes, but virtual practices where they deal with their clients mostly on the phone. They send them documents. Maybe they come by to sign some things. But for the most part, they don't have to be a big part of the client's life.
No, and I don't even think most people look for that when they're looking for somebody to do their will or their estate planning or their divorce or, you know, unless maybe they really need a shark, right?
Right. No, they want it to be least intrusive as it can be, right? They want it to be easiest as it can be and not so hard. And that's what keeps people from
unless you're like Harvey Weinstein or something.
Yeah. I heard he was guilty today.
Yeah, only on two counts.
Yeah.
But I mean, zero. No, I mean, I think the average person, you know, in the, I guess nothing's average, but I mean, it's not like that kind of thing. You're just looking for a good attorney that can help you do whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah, more typical.
Yeah.
But, the biggest complaint about attorneys is their fees. So as soon as you go to an attorney, you sit with the attorney, they're charging you by the hour. I mean, I've heard the craziest stories about attorneys charging their clients for, I have clients who got charged by their attorney and the attorney went to visit them to talk about something else. It wasn't related to the law. It's crazy.
So that's it is. But then on the flip side, I've had a couple of attorneys who I thought, you know, did not gouge me. So
they were reasonable.
I mean, they did what I needed them to do and they charged me a fair price and there were no big nasty surprises. And
that's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be.
Right. And then you tell good stories. So,
you know, there's good ones and bad ones like anything else.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me how people can interact with you digitally, online.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously I've got the my LinkedIn. You know, you can certainly link into me and follow me on LinkedIn. You can follow me on Twitter, and I do, you know, check my direct messages on there.
Okay.
But I think the best thing is really my blog.
Okay.
LoriMcCabe.com.
That's on your website.
We have the SMB group website.
Okay.
And then I just have my blog website. So if somebody really wants to interact with me, they should definitely, you know, follow my blog, which is LoriMcCabe.com.
Okay.
And then, of course, they should also, I mean, it's not a blog, it's a website. I don't know if you would call it following, but we also have a lot of good information for SMBs on our website, which is smb-gr.com, because smbgroup.com was taken.
That's funny.
Yeah, so it's just smb-gr.com. And we have a lot of good information on there. Like, we have something called Chart of the Week, where we have interesting statistics out of our research, like what percentage of small businesses are using or planning to use Internet of Things, or, you know, how many what percentage of their people are remote workers, or, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Got it.
So we have a lot of good information on both. But, you know, if they want me to reply to them and have a conversation, I think LoriMcCabe.com is the best one for that.
Okay. Well, in the show notes for our episode, we'll put in LoriMcCabe.com and the SMB group and all the ways and your Twitter handle. And
if you like our podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is a production of Mitchell C. Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about Mitchell and his practice, you can find him on social media or visit his website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.